Chief Constable Noble, good morning.
Morning, Frank. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on the programme. Sadly, during the course of the weekend, we were listening to news bulletin after news bulletin reporting on people dying in a variety of accidents across the province. It's nothing new. It happens regularly. I asked a simple question. Do you think people are immune now to these ads? Are we passing enough remarks on what's being promoted on the screens and on the radio and in the newspapers?
I think what we know is how people act as opposed to what people think, Frank. You know, there seems to be a sense that this will never happen to me or it will never happen to my loved ones, but we know that even though we can't predict exactly where and when these accidents are going to happen, that quite sadly they will, and we also know the underlying core causes and themes, which, as you've just already sort of brought out in your piece there, excessive speed, which isn't just about staying under the speed limit. This is about speed that's right for the circumstances, depending on the weather, your own abilities, your vehicle, other road users. We know that there's still a significant number of people will have alcohol or drugs in their system whenever they're driving, which again is not only illegal, but it impairs their judgment. And quite frankly, people just don't pay attention whenever they're in their cars. They're maybe thinking about where they're going. They're maybe texting on their mobile phone. And these are the causes that we repeatedly see time and time again. And your piece has teased out the trauma and the horror whenever you attend or see a serious or indeed a fatal road traffic collision. And my officers and colleagues from the fire service and the ambulance service unfortunately see these on a daily and a regular basis. It's incredibly traumatic for them, but far more impactful for the families long beyond the actual date and time of the incident itself.
I had reason to go down to Larne recently, and practically the whole way to Larne from Coors Corner is now a 40 mile an hour zone because of roadworks. It was late in the day, there wasn't a worker about, and I drove at 39, 40 miles an hour the whole way to Larne. Behind me, vehicles were flashing their lights, beeping their horn, and I even had people in the car with me who said, "Listen, for goodness sake, there isn't a worker about. Could you drive on a bit?" And there was one person made reference to me as being a Granda driver. Now, I was right to continue at 39.40, wasn't I?
Absolutely. And, you know, quite frankly, it's the law. But these aren't just arbitrary limits that are set. You know, the road itself will not perhaps be in the optimum condition. There could be challenges about not having the same width of road in case someone was overtaking. There's a reason why those speed limits are in place. But if you think about it, you know, how much time would someone actually have saved on their journey? You know, maybe 2 or 3 minutes at a push, depending on how far they were going. And really, our lives so hectic that 2 or 3 minutes is worth the risk about clipping a pedestrian at the side of a road or someone emerging from a minor road and we've overtaken someone and we don't see them, and then you potentially have 10 to 14 years in jail. You have to live with the guilt of the injuries you've caused someone or indeed having that impact on you. So for 2 or 3 minutes, really, is there such an inconvenience?
Interestingly, the conversation I was having in the car turned out one of the people who was not the person who called me a Granda of a driver, but another person had already been on this course up at the King's Hall, I think. And you would have thought that that individual would have had a greater understanding of what I was trying to achieve by basically ignoring the beeping horns and the flashing lights behind me. Do those courses work?
Well, I think different people will probably learn in different ways, Frank. And unfortunately, some people, quite sadly, have to have something hugely impactive and horrendous happen in their lives before they actually recognize that their impact can have consequences. So I think different people will take different things from those courses. I think the sad thing from a policing point of view is sometimes this is portrayed as a policing problem. We absolutely have our role to play, and we will proactively patrol those hot spots where we know accidents will take place. We enforce legislation. We try and sort of target our operations at certain times of the year whenever we know there'll be more people, for example, out drinking and driving. But by the time we've got to the enforcement stage, we've almost lost the argument, because people then are already speeding or drinking with drugs or alcohol in their systems or aren't paying attention. So we can't fix penalty ticket our way out of this problem or arrest our way out of it. People need to realise that their actions have consequences, that but for the grace of God, these accidents could happen to them or their loved ones, and take responsibility drive slower, never drink or drive, and pay attention in particular to the more vulnerable people on our roads, for example, pedestrians or motorcyclists.
But are you where you need to be? I know the civilian driven vans that
yes.
do the speed checks, they tend to be in cushy suburbia, but where there would be a lot of people maybe doing 32, 33 in a 30, shouldn't be doing it, but it's easy to pick up the money off those people. Whereas we don't see you on the winding country roads. It's unlikely that a police car is going to pull out and pull someone, a bit like they do in the Dukes of Hazzard, the police car sitting there going out and getting the idiots on the roads, on the winding country roads where so many accidents occur.
Well, there's a couple of urban or rural myths there, Frank, that I think is pretty helpful to dispel. This is not a money-making exercise for police in terms of safety cameras. They're there to keep people alive and to keep people safe. And where those cameras are based and sited is on statistical analysis of where and when those accidents take place. I'm not going to make an apology for trying to keep people alive. I have no doubt that those cameras have kept people alive today who would not otherwise be alive, have reduced injuries and have reduced fatalities on our roads. And again, I'm not quite sure the argument of leafy suburbia makes sense, because there are a significant number of accidents that take place in our urban areas, and indeed where children are playing, where there are schools. So I don't think the police service have any apologies, and it's absolutely not a money-making scheme. Any money made is ploughed back into additional road safety measures and continuing to keep people safe. But my message is very simple. Don't speed and you'll not be caught. And speed limits are there for a reason, because again, we know that in built-up areas, whenever you travel above 30 miles per hour, your stopping distance significantly increases, and you're much more likely to therefore potentially kill or seriously injure someone as and when you might hit them.
Do you feel it's a battle that you're losing, considering that there's so much money pumped into the initiatives? You're saying the police are taking it exceptionally seriously. You believe that you've saved lives, but yet and all, I'm sure when you get up on a Saturday morning and you hear about people have been killed coming home from a nightclub or wherever, you must think, how do I ever win this battle?
I think the two overriding emotions from the police service point of view is frustration, because we put a huge amount of work into trying to educate people and stop people speeding in the first place. You know, for example, we run our Operation Road Safe, where we focus in particular on young people and making them aware of the realities and the challenges of driving. The new radar centre, which is due to open very soon, again focuses around education and bringing home to people the various risks that exist in society. So there's a frustration that the message isn't getting through, but there's also an overwhelming sadness that our officers turn up at these incidents on a regular basis that are hugely traumatic for them, and they also see the trauma that they cause on families. And I am sure there's very few people listening now who don't know or haven't personally experienced within their families the impact of a serious road traffic collision, or indeed even worse, a fatality on our roads. And what we've seen over the weekend are a number of disconnected, very individual circumstances, and I don't want to go into the details of those, which are almost impossible for us to be predicting exactly where and when they're going to happen. But we do know, again, generically speaking, what the core causes of accidents, and in particular serious accidents on our roads, are.
People who have heard you make reference to the radar centre, they won't be fully aware of what you're talking about.
It's a centre that's been built that basically looks at the various risks that exist within our society, whether it be in the home or in roads. And again, the focus is primarily around educating young people as to the choices they can make and how they can try and prevent harm happening. And the police service is one of the key agencies involved in supporting that. Because again, we would much rather invest our time and our effort in preventing things happening, whether it be road traffic collisions or other accidents that happen in society, than actually picking up the pieces afterwards whenever the harm and the damage has been done.
Do you have enough money and manpower to continue to keep us safe on the roads?
We are absolutely focusing the resources we have on what we know works and on the areas we need to. But this is not something we can police our way out of. We cannot patrol every single mile of road 24/7. So there's not a policing solution to this. The answer to this is people recognising that this could happen to them, and that the core responsibility lies with them in terms of moderating their speed, making sure their vehicles are in a fit condition, never ever drive under the influence of drink or drugs, and expect the unexpected on a road. So this isn't about police resources or even about police activity ultimately. It's about people taking responsibility for their actions and having the realisation that this could happen to them on this particular journey in this car.
Wouldn't it be great if people would absolutely listen to that last sentence and take on board what you've said, including myself? There are times when I drive, times when everyone drives, when you're not 100% concentrating. You absolutely need to concentrate 100%, and you need to follow the rules as laid down in the law.
No, you do. And in the end, people are human beings, and at times, you know, they will have particular pressures in their lives, or they'll need to get somewhere quicker or otherwise. But again, whenever you add up the risks, if you look at it just in a risk way, you could maybe save 90 seconds in a journey, but the risks exponentially increase whenever you start to speed or take risks on the road. And I think that is the key message, that maybe there's an opportunity for you and your show, Frank, to bring on a combination of people who have suffered loss on the roads, either personally or with their loved ones, someone who has perhaps been convicted of a serious road traffic offence, and indeed speak to the emergency services who turn up at scenes, quite frankly, that probably only exist in war zones because of the impact and because of the carnage that we see whenever these road traffic collisions take place.
It's very true. It is very true. Assistant Chief Constable Chris Noble, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Wouldn't it be great if we could get to the destination on the road to zero that they talk about? We're well away from it at this present moment in time.